Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the Skreblik foe who stands with sword drawn, standing on the edge of a lake, confronting the sea demon. Good morning, brother. Good morning to all the Keblin warriors and all the Genghis whores and all the hooker queens of Sector 22. Good morning to you. Good morning to the ghosts, the tiny little ghosts that haunt your backyard where you buried all of those gerbils. Good morning, my friend. Yes, indeed. It is Monday, June the 5th, 2023, Bo Blimp Doc. It's right around 9:30 a.m. Mountain Standard Time here in Scompton, Utah. Don't know what time it is where you're at. Maybe you're traveling to the edge of the universe where time ceases to exist. Maybe you're being chased by time demons who seek after your temporal soul and your ancient clock power. Maybe you're on the edge of tomorrow's tomorrow, somewhere near the eclipse of eternity. You're drifting through space at 8 million times the speed of light. Yes, indeed. Good morning. Here are your headlines from ZeroHedge.com as of 9:30 a.m. Mountain Standard Time in Scompton. You have to see this to believe it, how the BLS data is being manipulated. Bored. Sonic boom over DC as NORAD scrambles F-16s to intercept unresponsive private jet that crashed. Nuclear power may become crucial in decarbonization efforts. Okay. There are some key events this week. Lots of Fed data. Okay. Russia says it, you know, put down a major Ukrainian offensive hours after it began. Okay. Your speech is violence. How the mob is using a new mantra to justify campus violence. Core U.S. factory orders unexpectedly shrank in April, weakest since COVID. I mean the monkey herpes. I mean the bullshit military psychological warfare. Another 52 shot, 10 murdered in Chicago this weekend. Services surveys disappoint in May. Employment, new orders tumble. Too bad, right? Report leaked to New York Times shows 59% drop in Twitter's ad sales. Oh boy. What happens when the competent opt out? We'll see. Fake debt ceiling fight yields fake spending cuts and a credit card with no limits. Well, that sounds pretty fucking nice. Futures flat with S&P on the cusp of a bull market. Oil jumps after OPEC production cut. Fox News reeling after Tucker Carlson's exit. Oh boy. That's just too bad. Front-running the Fed, how gold and chess players beat a rigged market. Will very narrow breadth lead to broad equity upside? Maybe. These are the 20 most air-polluted cities on Earth. Not going there, right? Is the United States losing its control of Ukraine? Well, I mean, if Ukraine is a country, I don't know. But as far as psychological warfare narratives go, I think the Ukraine's working out pretty good. And those are your headlines. As of 9:30 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, ZeroHedge.com. I'm just here in Scompton reading the Zero Hedge. I'm just here in Utah doing the crack cocaine and reading the Zero Hedge and dreaming of a miracle future where I live on Mars. Yes, dreaming of a Martian future here. That's all. Yesterday, in the year 2004, which means 19 years ago, yesterday, a man by the name of Marvin John Heemeyer drove around a big old, I think it was a D6, a D355A Komatsu that he modified into a tank, like a World War I style tank, adding all kinds of sheet metal and a 50 cal rifle and various gun points, and he had cameras, and he designed it for attack from above. It was a pretty well-built tank when you break it down. In fact, I think Netflix has a documentary about the incident, and as far as Netflix being communist, it's as balanced as you're going to get. But yesterday was the day, 19 years ago, that Marvin drove his Komatsu around Granby, Colorado, and took out some buildings and some stuff and more stuff and vehicles. I don't think he killed one person, but he did end up dying. I think he took his own life inside of his tank. And he had his reasons for doing what he did. On the Wikipedia page, it outlines the zoning dispute. But I think that if you watch that documentary about Heemeyer, I think you'll find that it was more than just about zoning. And I think there's a lesson in this. It's something I've been talking about since the spring of 2020, that of the many side effects of military psychological warfare at the scale that's currently being done, is that it may end up producing a lot of Heemeyers. Another thing I would say is this: it's no accident that construction didn't stop during the great pandemic and that trucking didn't stop. And you can say, well, they're essential workers, so they were magically immune. Well, that's some kind of bullshit. But I'll tell you one thing: if the actual banking crisis of 2019 had exploded, and you found yourself with a country of people, of, let's say, construction workers and truck drivers who don't have anything to do but be pissed off, you might end up with a few Heemeyers. And if you put them through the ringer with some type of bullshit psyop, trauma-based mind control, adrenal fatigue, madness, drug abuse, if you put all the darkness and the suicides around them and they take a look at their welding torch and ask themselves, well, shit, I'm an essential worker, but maybe I'll pile on some plate steel. Yeah. I don't know what's happening next for sure. I'm pretty certain the damage to civic society by what just happened, by the last 3 years of high-intensity military psychological warfare, of the variety trauma-based mind control, I'm pretty certain that's going to result in a lot of crazy people. And I'm not even arguing that Marvin Heemeyer was crazy, but if you can imagine 1,000 or 10,000 Marvin Heemeyers, I think that that's a low-end estimate. I think you're going to see a lot of stuff like this. as things fall apart, and they're not going to fall apart gradually. They're not going to be, it's not going to be a graceful degradation. There will be no soft landing. The more that it looks like a bull market right now, the more you need to understand that that GTO, that Pontiac you're in, is going 130 miles per hour towards a brick wall, and behind the brick wall is just a lot of lead and a mountainside. Yeah, you can talk about bull markets. You can talk about there's going to be no recession because artificial intelligence stocks, blah, blah, blah. All I can tell you is this is exactly what I was talking about 2 years ago when I did a podcast called The 1 Week Crack Up Boom. And my point 2 years ago was really quite simple, that this is not just going to gently go into that good night. Jerome Powell is the man spinning the plates to the circus music. He is the clown. It's his clown show on one level. He has a helicopter on hot standby, and he has no intention of being here when 10 or 100,000 Marvin Heemeyers decide to go, you know, apeshit crazy and put on the plate steel. And, you know, one Marvin Heemeyer more or less shut down that town in Colorado 19 years ago and a day ago. One guy. Imagine 1,000 Marvin Heemeyers. Imagine 1,000,000. If you want to understand why they've been doing the psychological warfare they've been doing, it's in part to manage this. Because as long as people believe it's the COVID, it's the Russians, it's the drag queen story time, it's BLM, it's Antifa, it's some type of other wretched bullshit that has nothing to do with reality, as long as people stay connected to the lesser catastrophes and the fear monkeys, they're not building their own private tanks. As long as they get a check in the mail, they're not out there getting plate steel. As long as they still got their construction job and their oil job and their trucking job, they're not setting up their Komatsu to be a patent tank. You know, I'm not going to tell you I think it's right to do what Heemeyer did. I believe in the non-aggression principle, and I'm also a Christian. So as an anarchist, a Christian, and a believer in the non-aggression principle, I think what we should do is solve problems without violence. But the issue here is our entire society currently is based upon solving problems using violence, all the way from the top to the bottom. It really is about violence. So how do you convince hundreds of millions of Americans, or at least enough Americans, that they don't have to solve problems by pointing guns at each other? That's not going to happen anytime soon. So I don't really want a bunch of Marvin Heemeyers, but it's kind of like the fuck around, find out. It's the reap what you sow. It's the chickens coming home to roost. It really is. If you put up with the nonsense of 2020 because you thought it was just a little bit of hokey pokey, a little bit of Simon Says, you know, you do the turnaround, run around, and you do it all again. If you thought it was just a simple game and it didn't hurt anybody, you were fooling yourself. People were hurt. People killed themselves. People overdosed on drugs. Businesses were destroyed. And it wasn't just a couple. It was probably by the millions that this damage was done. We may be in a daze right now, like we were just hit by a car. So we're shaken. We were just punched in the face. So we're a little bit, you know, concussed. But when we come to, or at least enough of us come to, there's going to be a lot of people seeking some type of vengeance. And it might not even be appropriate. Like, it might not even be the case that they know the right target. But they'll be seeking some type of revenge. So I would beware of June the 4th, 2024, Bo Blimpdoc. One day less than a year from now. I would beware of this date in 2024 because I would not be surprised, especially if things are what they are, what I expect them to be a year from now. Yeah. I think you could have a lot of Heemeyers. Okay, next topic. So this is an article that was published on CNN.com on June the 3rd, so that's a couple days ago. And headline, Florida woman's car caught fire with her children inside while she allegedly shoplifted in a mall. This is written by Rebecca Rles and Ala Elassar. Wow. Okay, so I read on. A Florida woman has been arrested and charged after her car caught fire with her unattended children inside while she shoplifted inside a mall in Oviedo, Florida, police said. The woman, identified as Alicia Moore, 24, parked in a Dillard's parking lot around noon on May the 26th, leaving two children in the car, according to the arrest report issued by the Oviedo Police Department. Moore went inside the store, where loss prevention personnel watched her and an unknown man shoplift items for about an hour, according to the report. Moore was leaving the store when she saw her car engulfed in flames, dropped the stolen merchandise, and ran out of the store, police said. Shoppers witnessed the fire and helped rescue the children from the flames, the report said. The two children were transported to Arnold Palmer Children's Hospital, and one child suffered first-degree burns to her face and ears, according to the report. Moore was interviewed and requested an attorney. She was arrested by the neighboring Orlando Police Department for outstanding warrants in other counties unrelated to the incident, the report said. While in custody at the Orange County Jail, Moore was charged with aggravated child neglect and arson, according to the report. It is undetermined what ignited the fire. However, if Moore was not being neglectful, it is unlikely the children would have been injured, the police said. Moore also faced four additional charges of petty theft, battery, assault from previous incidents, and is being held on a $48,000 bond, according to jail records. Moore was arraigned Friday and pleaded not guilty to both charges related to the incident with her children. Seminole County court records show. Yeah. What do you say about the Florida woman? And again, I'm not beating up on women here, any gender. I don't even know if we should target Florida. I mean, we joke about Florida man. We know a couple things about Florida man. We know that he wants to drink a six-pack of beer and jump his, you know, jet ski over 17 gators. We know that he wants to drink some whiskey and take his airboat, you know, out into the swamp. We know that he wants to hunt the wild weasel shark out in the depths of the Atlantic while avoiding being swallowed by the Bermuda Triangle. We know these things about Florida man. But what do we really know of Florida woman, you know? We know that Florida woman believes there's a magical land somewhere in the storm drains. We've learned this in the past, haven't we, brothers and sisters? That Florida woman, if put into any major city, will seek out a sewer or some type of tunnel or cave, and immediately seek a magical black and white world where there's some old auntie making apple pies for all the lost children. She'll go to a swimming pool and try to open a hole in the bottom of the pool, but maybe she'll have to be resuscitated. We know that about Florida woman. But we also know this. She'll leave her kids in the car. She'll go into the store to go shopping. The kids might catch fire. This is a sad story. Yeah. It's a pretty terrible story. I'm not sure what to make of this. I don't really believe, as you well know, if you listen to my podcast, I don't really believe much of the news is real at this point. It doesn't mean this didn't happen. It very well could have happened. It's also possible that it's completely fake. I have no earthly way to determine if this story is true. It could be the result of the general levels of stress in the economy and amongst people in general. It could be that this is just a corrupt woman and she is an exception to the rule. She is a one in the million case. It's hard to say. And if you just heard a lot of dogs barking, that's just stuff that happens here. Dogs bark. It's a simple reality that dogs will bark. They'll hang out by my door and they suspect I'm keeping secret cheese. And so they'll hold vigil to get their own slice of the secret cheese. You know, Boomer usually leads that vigil. Not really sure. This could be a true story. This could be just a corrupt person who is not a very good parent. And I'm sorry, but if this is a true story, this is a really kind of a terrible thing to do. But on the other hand, what am I supposed to tell you? A few podcasts ago, I said the following, and it's a Dr. Freckles quote. Having kids doesn't make you wise. Having kids doesn't make you better. If you're a giant piece of shit before you have kids, there is a near certainty that you'll continue to be a giant piece of shit after you have kids. I used to believe that kids could have this magical effect on people, but that was whimsical bullshit I needed to give up on. You know, I would say that most of the parents in the United States in 2020 and 2021 did the equivalent of this fucking parent, this particular parent. They in that metaphorical sense, locked down their kids in a car, went ahead and did whatever hokey pokey, monkey funky, stupid ass Simon Says bullshit, whatever governor or mayor told them to do, and didn't notice that their kids were in danger and didn't fucking care. That's what I would say about this story. Imagine millions of people doing this. And that's what 2020 and 2021 seemed like to me. And yeah, this kid got some first-degree burns. I think a lot of kids have been driven fucking crazy. I think a lot were victimized. I think the coffee filter mask culture, the wearing the masks on your face, enabled a lot of kids to be trafficked and taken advantage of. I think in that metaphorical sense, a lot of parents in 2020 put their kids in a fucking car. First, they rolled up the windows in the heat. Maybe they handed them a lighter and then took off and did their own thing because somebody told them to. So yeah, this is a terrible fucking story. Do you want me to tell you I think it's special? It's a little unique, but it's not fucking special, buddy. Next topic. Yes, indeed. Strange times. One would think that you have to have a special name for the humans that travel amongst the jungle people, the humans that travel amongst the wastoids. You have a special name for the hairless monkeys that walk upright and pretend they're all that. There's got to be a special people out there, a special name. I call them the Cleveland folk. There will come a time when the Cleveland folk leave the hills and the swamps. They'll come after you and your fancy pants sentimentality and other grongozoid husk varmint juice. It will be relentless, and after, the dusk wench will cry, fury for the dead scrolls, but only echoes are heard, only crickets. Only the echo of stale promise in the light of new sand realms. "Stag Rule is drowning," cried Freetus. The Nut Grummel, the Toog Stand. He'd been clawing at reality, trying to find a way back to the caves of Zim, where his mother had killed his brother's uncle's wife's dog, Cherry Top. Dennis, the Coob, stood by the burly hornet women. Our sadness fumed. We had not fire to warm our gruel, nor cow to milk for our finer sauces. When the French king visited, we simply had canned tuna and old ranch dressing. His cloak was thick and torn, his crown made of iron and thorns. He walked with a limp due to some wound he got during the 32nd War of Robotics and Porn. He was hated among the hill people, but loved among the harbor rats of Marseille. Once in Bombay, he made love to 68 women and then ran off when he found out half were pregnant. Such are the tales of king. Such are the tales of royalty. Such are the tales of King Eugen. Still, there were night terrors and sweats and delirium tremens as the alcohol leaves the body and the mind quakes at the thought of new day and morning time. All made smooth for the Cleven folk. Cleven folk are powerful beasts covered in possum oils and fish guts. They range about the streets looking for young flesh and blood ponies. Last time they ruled the lands, the soil was soaked with blood and all kinds of grotesque things, and the turnip fish lay dead upon the sands. And all for what, Mexican pie? Could be Trogensgleek. This is harvested from the Baltic where the sea demons prey. 2,000 years ago, before the Danish overlords were driven from their ancestral muck, the Skuv fiends bred lions and hawks and some squirrels. They would raise at them their squirrel meat and eat it. It was fine meat. It was good for tacos. The Cleven folk love squirrel. The Cleven folk take big risks, buddy. They ride the wave of disarray and panic as the ass clowns of Wall Street go sideways and the Fed turns north. They don't wait for time banshees to grant special rights. Nay, they are the star chasers and eat brandy soup with monsters. When the Drell told Queen Morsel to surrender her navies following the ninth war of total lesbian regret, did she not stand up as Cleven folk and declare the near space her monkey realm? Sure she did. Can we recall how many of these fine waves were tossed from the bus? Too many, I'd say. Struggs dealt the final card to Oberly and his crooked harem. He made money from selling jewel wine and hardening window passes in Quadrant 21 Bravo. His mud whore, Sheila, dug the star bishop and ate from the table of sand and glass. Her stare could cut you, bleed you, consume you. Sheila was dangerous. I know the mark of the mountain bear. I've seen his glare, and the growling, embittered voice of that hairy thing haunts my nights. I ran to the forest and lived like a denizen of Stuzzle Graves. I ate the last pieces of that dead thing that was buried under the church nearby. Shall we talk of Cleven folk magic? Grape saw gloom, entry doom, there's a big boom, go to your room, tester binge, gonna get a singe, don't touch your minge. Rat march, eat your starch, find Fred Larch, go towards the arch, Kennedy sideways, after darkness, after right ways, after wrong ways, the moon riles with its angry smile, the ghost coffee is for Mr. Naffy, the kelp trials will be ongoing, the snake bearer will bear the cup of dreams. Summon the gods, summon the ancient ones, summon those ethereal types that live amongst the spooky places. Demon power rod, magic wand, slayer of the ancient dragon. Are you ready for a jizz parlay? Do you want to travel further down the back roads of Stigtown and sojourn among the flying fish? You just have to break free, my friend. You just have to look in the mirror and say to yourself, there stands fine Cleven folk. Yes, next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Sometimes small is big, Dr. Freckles. What the hell does that mean? Well, this is specifically related to a particular kind of sailboat that if all my dreams come true, because you can find them used for about $6,000 to $10,000, I would get one if all my dreams came true. That's a big if. It's called the West White Potter 19. And of all the boats that are sailboats that you could potentially put on a trailer behind your truck, this has got to be the best one, from what I can tell. I've never owned one, so a lot of this is just the legend of it, not the ownership of it. I have had a keel boat, a sailboat. I made a bad choice. I bought a crappy kind of boat. If only I knew then what I know now, but I didn't, so I didn't. Yeah. The West White Potter 19 is not a big boat, but for a 19-footer, it has a lot of great features. It'll say things like, you know, it'll sleep three or four. I think it'll sleep two people reasonably comfortably if they're used to camping. And you could probably take four or five people on the cockpit, on the bow. take them along for ballast. You could probably take, you know, four or five people with you on a sailing trip on a day sail. If you brought your camping equipment and you were going to park someplace overnight, some of your crew could camp on the sands, camp on the island, camp on the beach. And so, yeah, if you want to know if I have dreams, Dan, because it sounds like you gave up. I didn't give up. I just don't know a way through. You know, from my perspective, I'm in a small fusion craft capable of sublight speed, and I've just been captured by a supermassive black hole. I'm going to burn out that entire deuterium grid, and I'll try to get up to, like, I don't know, 70% the speed of light, and the reality is, you know, I'm still going to get sucked into that black hole. That's what's going to happen. So yeah, I just don't know a way through. I don't have a perspective that tells me that it's at all likely that some point in the near future I'm going to have the money to go buy a sailboat. But if I was going to go buy one, and if I was going to recommend one, and if you're a prepper and you have some money and you live near a body of water, this is the kind of boat to get. You don't need to keep it at the marina. You can keep this in your garage, and you can get this thing on the water pretty fast. This is the kind of boat that could get you out of that city when every major road, every highway is clogged up with gumbo freaks and grombozoids and clagazoids and zinctons and all types of tribic peoples, the ones that carry, you know, the pillowcases filled with doorknobs. Yeah. You know, and if you're clever, you can definitely take something like this on the river. I believe it has an adjustable keel. So you can pull up the keel a little, reduce your amount of sail, and you can take this thing on the river if you want to. And of course, you can have an outboard motor. And with enough fuel, that could get you a fair distance from wherever it is you need to go. So even if you're a prepper and you said to yourself, how can I think of sailboats, Dan? I would say if you had the extra money and you like to sail and you just haven't done it in a long time, this is the type of thing that fits in the two categories. Category A is just enjoy your life. And frankly, compared to lots of boating, I think sailboating is relatively cheap. You know, I think you need to know a lot before you get into it. I was a dumbass. I didn't know enough. But yeah, you get yourself a West White Potter 19, and you're going to have yourself something that you can have fun on for years and years and years. But there's also the other column, the other reason. And the other reason is this is the type of boat that definitely would fit into the category of, can I get out of this big city if I have to? Because I'll be honest with you, there's going to be very little warning, in my opinion, if things do start to fall apart. And that means a lot of panic and a lot of people hitting the roads. And I'm not even sure that you'd be able to get this boat to the water in this scenario. So this may not even apply anyways. But if you live close enough to the water and you can pull it around on the flat surface maybe a little, or jang it up to some vehicle with some rope or something and drag it to the water and get it in the water, then I guess you'd be okay. I mean, I don't know. It's like New York City. I don't know New York City. I don't know if there's places where you could in some janky way put this thing into the water, and, you know, and not the lake in Central Park, but the actual sea. I don't know. I don't know, brothers and sisters. It is a question I don't have an answer to. But there you go. Sometimes small is big. I'd say the West White Potter 19 fits that definition. Next topic. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Science is philosophy with more discipline. Science is philosophy with more hard work. Scientists love to come up with ideas, but then they also try to prove that they're true using fact-based methods and mathematics and logic. Philosophers sit around drinking wine. They stare at the clouds. They stare at the darkness. They come up with crazy theories. They're too lazy to do the work. Science is philosophy with more discipline, with more hard work. philosophy is mostly about lazy people who just want to think all day. Like Uncle Dan. Yeah. Next topic. Next topic. We're really cooking these topics. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. You buy carnival fish, you end up with tiny ghosts. You buy carnival fish, they die horribly, you end up with little ghosts. I don't know. I don't want to talk too much about this. I've known some people who've owned fish over the years. And the thing about the carnival fish, the fish you win at the carnival, how can I put this? Many of them are very near to death or hopelessly infected before you ever end up winning that bag of carnival fish. And you will take them home with excitement and love, and maybe your kids are so happy they even blow the air into the aquarium, into the tank using a straw, you know, to get oxygenated for the carnival fish. But if you buy carnival fish, they're gonna die. And then you're gonna have tiny little ghosts, tiny little fish ghosts. They're filled with pain and misery. They'll wander your home at night. So I'd say stay away from carnival fish. Just my opinion. Just my opinion. I'm just saying. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Make your heart a stone. Make your heart a stone and then cast it into the fire. Dr. Freckles. Well, what does that mean? You know, this is one of those Dr. Freckles quotes where it's something he'd say. It's something that Dr. Freckles would actually say, but I can't truly say I agree with him totally because I'm a Christian. I don't think you should turn your heart to stone. This isn't some police song like Murder by Numbers. I don't think you should do that. But I got to tell you, ever since 2016, I do feel like the Lord has told me something. He said, you need to toughen up, Dan. You need to understand that there are more people out there who are crooked, who are conniving, and frankly, might be possessed by demons. There's more of those people than you realize. That there is a spiritual war. It is ongoing, and it is everywhere. And perhaps we are living in a time where spiritual warfare has never been that, you know, quite this bad. It's hard to say. I can't tell you. I can't tell you that you shouldn't trust people, but I gotta say, you gotta be fucking careful, especially when it comes to people online. People online will tell you a horror story. You don't know these people. You've never met these people. They'll say, I'm dying of this. I've got long COVID that. I broke both my legs. I need your help. I need your money. And maybe they're telling the truth, and maybe they're not. The one thing I try to give you on this here podcast is the truth. I'm a middle-aged, burned-out computer programmer. That's the truth. I could probably do some programming job until Bo Blimp Doc and the sun sets on it. That's the truth. But I'm just too fucking burnt out. I don't have any money. And a big part of that is I made some bad decisions in my life. But I'll be honest with you. I think a big part of it is I don't know a lot of people that have a lot of real money. I know a lot of people that have notional money. They have notional money in their retirement. They have notional money in their house. But I don't know a lot of people with actual liquid cash where they could go even spend $6,000 on a West White Potter 19, assuming you can still get one for that price. I don't know people like that. You know, I'm a middle-aged, burned-out computer programmer. I'm about a few degrees removed from being a homeless person if it weren't for the kindness of others. I'm nobody special, and I'm not a role model. So I can tell you all these things, but then you could say, well, Dan, that's a soft sell, and you're still trying to grift me somehow. I'm not grifting you. You know, and this is a good segue into, guess what? There's a PayPal link in the notes. If you donate money to my podcast, I will try to pay for things I need for the podcast, and I will pay for things I need to survive. I'll pay for food, water, shelter, you know, in no particular order. I'll pay for other things so I can enjoy my life a bit in no particular order. That's the truth. I don't have any serious infirmities. Yeah, I broke my left humerus a few months ago and it was pretty bad, but it's healing up. And if I put more effort into the physical therapy in the coming months, it could become 100% and a robot arm. I'm very lucky in a lot of ways. Yeah, I don't have a lot of money. Yeah, times are what they are. And I still would say, if I died today, if somebody wanted to know, what do you think, Dan? I'd say I've been pretty lucky. You know, for what life should be, and that is, it should be, I think, a kind of exciting adventure. It has been that for me. I can't claim to have done anything great or heroic. I can't claim to have impacted anything or changed anything. All I can stake claim to being, to doing, to existing, is being who I am. I'll stake claim to that. I'll have that on my fucking gravestone. I don't care about the rest of the shit because most of it fits into categories of ego and hubris and really bad places. But I'll stake a claim to trying to be happy as much as possible in this world, and on top of it, suffering from episodic acute severe depression. And I'll stake a claim to that, and I am okay with that. Does that mean my heart is a stone? No. Does that mean you shouldn't donate because you should make your heart a stone? Here's what I'll say. Be fucking careful. Be really careful with people online. Be careful with anybody at the end of a phone line, period. Just be careful. If you're a ham radio person, be careful about that person you're talking to. I don't care if they're on QRZ. That doesn't mean shit to me at this point. Be careful of the crap that gets spouted by the old hams. Oh my God, COVID wiped out a whole town. Half the town is dead. I'm a ham radio guy. Why would I lie? Yeah. Why would I deceive you? As a Christian, I would say, keep your heart open. As a Christian, I'd say, you need to be and live the kingdom life, which also means you need to believe so much that you could take one fish and make it 10,000. You need to believe so much and participate so much that you are ready to wash the feet of a homeless person. You need to commit yourself to that life. However, I think you'll find a few Bible passages in the Old and New Testament that would also say, be smart. Okay? Being good doesn't equal being dumb. And the fact is, there are a lot of people out there trying to take advantage of others, especially right now. And bottom line is, as things get worse and as the system really collapses, all those people that work for government that are really just parasites are going to look like parasites, and they're going to start going every direction. And they'll be grifting, and they'll be taking bribes. It's already happening. It gets into the news periodically. It's only going to get worse. So make your heart a stone, and then pick up that stone and throw it into the fire. Maybe what we should say is, be strong, be wise, be only stony in the sense of your perseverance. But don't close off your heart. Don't stop trusting just because the world seems like an untrustworthy place right now. Don't be afraid, especially if you're a Christian, to take care of the widow, the orphan, and the stranger. Maybe we all need to make our hearts a little bit stony, just so we can deal with a phony baloney. If you enjoy this podcast, as stated, there's a PayPal link in the notes. Standard disclaimer, standard disclosure, standard addendum. Please take care of your food, water, shelter first. Take care of the people you love. There could very well be people in your life right now that could use help. Use it more than good old Uncle Dan in Scompton, Utah. So help out those folks. If you've set aside food for yourself and your family, make sure you're setting aside some food for your pet. If you have a dog and you set aside food for yourself, you know, 3 months supply, 6 months supply, no amount is probably going to be enough. be rational and set aside an equal amount in terms of time for your pet. I'm just saying this because especially that dog could be the difference between life or death in certain situations. So yeah, make sure you do that too. Make sure you find some joy and some happiness out there. The world is not over. Everybody dies. It's not about dying. It's not how you die. It's how you live. Try to enjoy this life. It's never been perfect. Not since we left Eden. Not since we were kicked out, really. Kicked out and shown the door and given curses on the way out. That's the truth of this world. It's hard. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. Sometimes it seems like the devil's winning. Sometimes it seems like the crooked path is the best path. Sometimes it seems like there's been a storm over you your whole life, and you ask yourself, when, dear Lord, will the storm end? And all I can tell you is that's life. It's always been like that. There will be good times and bad times. The sands will shift. Life will toss you end over end. But if you're lucky enough, and you get to see enough of this, you begin to understand that that's the excitement too. That's the tapestry. That's the meaning. Monday, June the 5th, 2023, Boblimpdoc. It's 10:20 a.m. Mountain Standard Time in Scompton. Go out and have a good Monday, my friends out there. Go out and enjoy the sunlight or something, maybe. Try to find some happiness and don't let the world turn your heart to stone. But also, don't let the world walk all over you. Have a great day.